time I'm coming here to Radha Govinda temple. Very nice deities. They seem very happy with the service all of you are doing. When Nam Nishtha Prabhu came to meet me the other day, he invited and I immediately accepted. I wanted to be with all of you. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare जय राधा गोविंद राधा गोविंद राधे जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौर हरि बोल डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा गोविंद देव की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 3, Text 6. The chapter is entitled Karma Yoga. Karma,
Karma.
Indriyani.
Indriyani.
संयम्य यः आस्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रिय अर्थान् विमूढ आत्मा मिथ्या आचारः सः उच्यते कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य य आस्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियार्थान् विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारः स उच्यते कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य य आस्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियार्थान् विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारः स उच्यते कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य य आस्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियार्थान् विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारः स उच्यते
Yeah.
संयम्या
यास्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियाणां विमूढात्मा
नित्याचारसमुच्यते
कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्या यास्ते मनसा स्मरन्
इन्द्रियाणां विमूढात्मा Matajis, anyone?
Karmendriyani samyamya.
Karmendriyani samyamya.
Yaste manasasmaran.
Yaste manasasmaran.
Indriyayattham vimudhatma.
Indriyattham vimudhatma.
Vidyachara sa ucchate.
Vidyachara sa ucchate.
Karmendriyani samyamya.
Karmendriyani samyamya.
Karma Indriyani,
Karma Indriyani,
the five working sense organs, Samyamya, controlling, Yaha,
anyone who,
Aste,
Aste
remains.
Manasa,
by mind, Smaran,
thinking,
Indriya Arthan,
sense
objects,
Vimudha,
foolish,
Atma,
soul,
Mithya,
Acharah,
pretender,
Saha,
He
Uchyate
is called.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Purport. There are many pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness, but make a show of meditation while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment. Such pretenders may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers. But according to this verse, these are the greatest cheaters. For sense enjoyment, one can act in any capacity of the social order. But if one follows the rules and regulations of his particular status, he can make gradual progress in purifying his existence. But he who makes a show of being a yogi while actually searching for the objects of sense gratification must be called the greatest cheater, even though he sometimes speaks on philosophy. His knowledge has no value because the effects of such a sinful man's knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord. Such a pretender's mind is always impure, and therefore his show of yogic meditation has no value whatsoever. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणे प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। Lord Krishna is speaking these verses in response to Arjuna's hesitation and reluctance to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna is a very intelligent and cultured person. He is not some ordinary man of the street who is ignorant of spiritual values and of spiritual culture. He is extremely spiritually, culturally, intellectually evolved. And when he speaks, he can speak something that is very solid, very substantial. So when he started giving reasons, those reasons were quite strong. They were quite good. And only Lord Krishna could refute them. So Arjuna is playing the role of the devil's advocate. You know what this means? Devil's advocate. It means that you play the side of the opposition. Of course, Arjuna is doing this as a part of Lord Krishna's plan. Because Krishna wants to give the message of the Gita to all of us. After all, it is Bhagavad Gita, the Gita of Bhagavan. So Krishna is speaking this message to all of us, and therefore he uses Arjuna as an instrument, because he needs some occasion to speak. Some reason has to be there to speak this message very clearly. A very appropriate and suitable context has emerged by the Lord's own arrangement on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, of all places. Not in the Himalayas, not in an ashram, not to a sannyasi, but to a warrior in the middle of the battlefield, just as a battle is about to begin. So through this example, Lord Krishna is giving us many messages. And one of the important messages is that Bhagavad Gita is meant for everyone. You may have heard many people objecting to the Bhagavad Gita philosophy by saying, well, if Lord Krishna comes to me and speaks, then I will also accept it. Or that Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna 5,000 years ago. Is it really relevant now? Or spirituality is meant for sannyasis. What about us ordinary people who are living household lives, undergoing the struggle of our day-to-day existence? Is it meant for us also? So the question to ask them is your struggle with all the problems and ambitions of your life more acute, more severe, more dangerous than the struggle that Arjuna was about to begin? Are any of you from a military background or a military family? No. So many of you will not have an idea what it means to be on a battlefield. And when you have bullets, or in those days of course arrows, whizzing past you, and any arrow could strike you randomly and you could be dead in a matter of moments. So is there not a question of survival for Arjuna? Where is the struggle for survival more dire? In Arjuna's case or in our case? Where is the danger higher? In Arjuna's case. And still Krishna is speaking the message to him. So our problems in comparison are very small. Our dangers are very minimal compared to the dangers Arjuna was about to face very shortly. So therefore certainly the message of Bhagavad Gita is appropriate to all of us. And as far as Krishna's being present in front of us to speak the philosophy, he is. Because he is the absolute truth, there is no difference between Krishna and his sound, vibration, his message. So when we hear the message of Krishna, Krishna is actually with us. This is the meaning of the absolute platform, that there is no difference between the form and the name, between the form and the message. So Krishna and Krishna's message on the spiritual platform are one and the same. So when you associate with Krishna's message, you are associating personally with Krishna. It is as good as Krishna being physically in front of us and speaking to us. In fact, hearing Krishna speak is more important than seeing Krishna. Now you all know that Arjuna was a very deep and old friend of Krishna. Is that right? And how old were both of them when they were fighting the battle of Kurukshetra? Were they 10, 15 years old? How old were they? Roughly, give an estimate. Huh? 70 to 80. Actually, they were almost 100 years old. Krishna departed when he was 125. And Yudhishthir Maharaj ruled for 36 years. So you can calculate. So they were pretty old. And they had known each other from a very, very long time. When was the first time Krishna met Arjuna as far as the Prakat Leela is concerned? Yeah? At Draupadi Swayamvara. You know that they were sent to the Varanavata, the Lakh house of Lakh. And Duryodhan tried to burn them alive and they escaped through a hidden tunnel. And they emerged in a forest and went to the banks of the Ganga, and eventually they reached the place where the Swayamvar of Draupadi was taking place. And Krishna and Balaram were present in that assembly. And Balaram was asking Krishna, he was angry, who is that? That looks like the Pandavas, it can't be any ordinary people. Who is this who is fighting so valiantly? And who is so expert in shooting the arrow? Of course, Krishna understood everything. That this was Arjuna, and there it was Bhima, and so on. From that time till now, Arjuna had known Krishna, which is many decades. And still after seeing Krishna, and knowing him and being his friend for so many decades, Arjuna eventually came to the point of saying, Karpanya dosho pahatasva bhavah prichhamitvam dharma sammoodha chetah. He said, I am out of weakness of heart, unable to ascertain what is my proper dharma. Yashrayan syan nishchitan bruhitan me shishyastiham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. My dear Krishna, you please tell me clearly what is my duty, my dharma, at this point in life. Arjuna was totally confused. He did not know what to do. So how is it that after knowing Krishna for so many decades and being his intimate friend, seeing him every day practically or very, very often, still he was so confused? And at the end of it, what does he say? Nashto moha smriti labdha. He said, now, my dear Krishna, all my illusion is dispelled. I am situated in the truth now. Nashta moho smriti labdha. I have regained my memory. I have regained my knowledge. I am situated in the truth now. Why so? Sarvam eita dritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. Because I have accepted as truth whatever you have spoken, Krishna. So please note this important point. Even though Arjuna knew Krishna, saw Krishna, dealt with him very intimately for many decades, it was only when he heard Krishna speaking philosophy that the change happened. That he could ultimately say, now I am relieved of all my illusion. Of course, this is a pastime going on between Krishna and his pure devotee associate. Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna, but he is playing this whole role, as I mentioned in the beginning. So it is only when Arjuna actually hears Krishna speaking philosophy that there is a transformation. His understanding becomes clear. His illusion and confusion are dispelled. Which means that even if Krishna were to appear before us right now and say, I am Krishna, so what are we going to do? Unless we have the understanding of who he is and what is our responsibility and constitutional position with respect to him, we will simply just say, all right, I'm happy, tomorrow I will go and tell everybody Krishna came in front of me. I have a selfie with him. I have a photograph with him. I have his autograph on my book. We will only say that. There are many commercial singers of bhajans. And the lyrics of these songs are often that, oh Lord, give me your darshan, and so on and so forth. Yes? But the point is that even if the Lord were to give us darshan, what would we do? What benefit would that be to us unless we have understood the philosophy? Unless our heart has changed and become favorable towards serving Krishna with love and humility. So therefore, hearing Krishna is more important than seeing Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam speaks, Brahma speaks the word Shrutekshita to indicate that one must learn to see through one's ears. Seeing through the ears. Seeing through the ears means that we hear the philosophy. Once we have heard the philosophy, then we develop the proper vision with which we can see Krishna. We can understand that this is not a statue. This is directly Krishna himself. Pratimana hetumi sakshat Rajendra Nandana. Then we understand what is the meaning of devotional service. What is yoga? What is bhakti yoga? Karma yoga? Jnana yoga? Ashtanga yoga? What is the message of Bhagavad Gita? All these things become clear when we hear attentively. Even if we do not see Krishna with these eyes physically as Arjuna saw, if we are going to hear the message of Krishna, it is better than seeing Krishna with our eyes. And when we have sufficiently heard and we have acted according to what we have heard, then one day when we are ready, when Krishna wills, he will show himself to us. Then our darshan of Krishna will be very meaningful. Then we will know what to do when Krishna appears before us. But prematurely, if Krishna appears before us, what is the use? Not of much value to us. Something, but not much. So therefore, all these arguments that people give, that Krishna, if Krishna were to appear before us, then we will accept Bhagavad Gita and so on, are not valid arguments. And also please note that there are also many famous examples in history of people who became great devotees without seeing Krishna, just by hearing. And I was discussing this briefly in the Jagannath temple the other day. Rukmini Devi became Krishna's pure devotee just by hearing his glories in the court of her father, King Bhishmaka. All the sadhus used to come and they would glorify Krishna. And as a young girl, she just would sit there in the court and hear this glorification of Krishna. She became attracted to Krishna and actually became his pure devotee. Similarly, the wives of the Yajnik Brahmanas on the border of Mathura and Vrindavan, they also heard at the glories of Krishna, which was recited by the ladies who would come to sell flowers, some would come to sell fruits, so the ordinary vendors, they would come and they would recite glories of Krishna. So they also became pure devotees like that. So therefore, all these misconceptions exist in the society. It is because they have not heard the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita through the proper parampara, the disciplic succession. So Krishna therefore has chosen Arjuna as the intermediary for us to get the message. And to use an intermediary, need a very qualified person. It can't be any ordinary person. So Krishna has chosen his intimate associate Arjuna. Srila Prabhupada in one place says that wherever Krishna appears, Arjuna also appears in that universe. So this pastime of Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna is going on in every universe. After Krishna spoke to Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna here, then he appeared with him in some other universe and spoke over there. Then after he spoke over there, he's speaking to Arjuna in some other universe. So even now, as we are sitting here, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in some universe somewhere. So this is Nitya Leela. Even in the material creation, so long as the material world is existing, Krishna and his devotees continue to perform their pastimes. And the Bhagavad Gita is certainly one of the pastimes of the Lord. The pastimes of disseminating the highest transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada gave an example one time of how a lady teaches her daughter-in-law something by instructing her own daughter. Now, I don't want to get into complicated topics and potentially troublesome topics. You know, these are always very sensitive topics in India. But nevertheless, I'm merely repeating an analogy. Sometimes the relationships between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law get strained. And I can see very knowledgeable glances in everybody's faces. Yes, yes, we are all aware these things happen. So the mother-in-law may sometimes feel hesitant to directly tell the daughter-in-law something when the daughter-in-law makes a mistake. The mother-in-law feels it necessary to correct the daughter-in-law, but if she tells her directly, there may be a fight. So what does she do? She scolds her daughter. And she tells her daughter, this is not how you're supposed to do it, this is how you should be doing it. And between mother and daughter, it's all right. Whatever may happen, it's okay. But the daughter-in-law is hearing that. So when she hears, then she understands, oh, this is not how I'm supposed to do it. So she learns. At the same time, the relationship between the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law is not spoiled. So Prabhupada said, similarly, Krishna has used Arjuna as an instrument to transmit his message to us. The message is actually meant for us, not for Arjuna. Arjuna is already an eternal associate of the Lord. What does he need to be told about three modes of material nature and so many other facts in the Bhagavad Gita? He is already on the transcendental platform. So Arjuna's bewilderment in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita is not the result of Mahamaya, of the illusory potency of the material energy of the Lord, under which all the living entities in this world are laboring. His illusion, his bewilderment is a direct arrangement of the Lord's spiritual energy, the spiritual illusory potency, which is called Yoga Maya. So in any case, Krishna has placed his dear devotee and associate under this illusion so that we can all be benefited. And Arjuna has given so many marvelous reasons for not wishing to fight. And it is hard for us to refute them. And some of those are very valid points. And Arjuna recognizes, yes, what you're saying is right, but still I want you to fight. And these are the reasons. One of the reasons that Arjuna has given is that it is sinful to kill one's superiors, one's relatives, and so on, a huge amount of sinful activity will be performed by me trying to emerge victorious in this battle. Therefore, it is better, Krishna, that I renounce everything and go into the forest, go to the Himalayas, and I should live a peaceful life there. So if I don't commit any activities, then no question of sinful reactions coming. You see, sometimes it happens in life, whether inside a temple or at home or anywhere outside. If some person's mistake is pointed out, he may sometimes get upset. All right, I will not do anything anymore. That is not the solution to the problem. The solution is not to stop work. Because, yes, if you don't work, there's no question of doing mistakes. But at the same time, if you don't work, you can't achieve your goals of life. So you have to do work. So similarly, Arjuna is trying to avoid sinful activity, because sinful activity gives rise to sinful reactions which cause suffering. So he thinks, let me go to the root of the problem. Let me stop activity itself. I will renounce everything and go to the Himalayas, go to the forest, and if I don't perform any actions, then there is no question of a reaction, then no question of suffering. This is Arjuna's logic. But then Krishna immediately in the third chapter refutes that in the previous verse to this one, Nahi kaschit kshanam api jat tishthatya karma krit. That never can you be a karma krit. Never can you be inactive, even for a kshana, for a second. We are by nature active people. Karyate yavashah karma sarvah prakritir jayakunaihi. Helplessly, you will be compelled to act in this world, to perform actions. Prakritir jayir gunaihi, according to the modes of nature, sattva guna, rajaguna, tamaguna, according to the modes of nature that you are influenced by, you will be compelled to act. You cannot abstain from action. The modes of nature will force you to act. By nature, Arjuna, you are a warrior. You are under the influence of the mode of passion. So therefore, the mode of passion will compel you to fight today or tomorrow. So you might as well fight now. And if you fight now, you will get the credit because you are fighting according to my instruction. If you fight tomorrow on your own, then you are responsible for your actions and the reactions. But if you perform your duty and act according to your nature, which is determined by how the three modes of nature are influencing you, if you do that according to my instruction, then you will be absolved of all the sinful reactions. Therefore fight, therefore act now. Srila Prabhupada also gives another example. If there is a soldier who is ordered by his government to go and fight a war against an enemy country, and then he goes into the battle and he kills many enemy soldiers and he is rewarded for bravery by the government. He gets many medals and so on and so forth. That same soldier, if he comes back home and due to some personal rivalry, he kills somebody with the same gun that he has, now he will not be awarded any medals. He will be put in jail. So we may ask, well, he's the same soldier, the same gun. In one case, you are rewarding him with medals, and in the other case, you are putting him in prison. What is the reason? The reason is clear. That in the first case, he killed under authorization, under the proper direction of the authority. Therefore, even if he killed anybody, even if it was an internal citizen of the country, he did not have to face any reaction. because it was the order of the government. So the responsibility lay with the government, not with him. He was merely executing orders. He was acting on behalf of the government. Therefore, the reactions was also the responsibility of the government. And on the contrary, what happened? He gets the credit. He doesn't get the bad reaction of killing. Rather, he gets the credit of getting a few medals and fame and name and so on. On the other hand, when he acted independently, there was no authorization. As a Kshatriya, he was very passionate and therefore he got into some fight with somebody and he killed him. But then he was acting of his own accord. And therefore he was responsible for his own actions and therefore he was liable to receive the reactions to those actions. The state was not responsible now. In the same way, when we act on behalf of Krishna, under Krishna's orders, then even if by chance there is some sinful activity that is performed, then Krishna takes charge of it. He said, don't worry. You are acting under my orders. You are acting for my pleasure to serve me. Therefore, I take responsibility for your reactions. This is surrender. And that is what he says in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Surrender unto me utterly, O Krishna, O Arjuna, and I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So Arjuna as a Kshatriya had a nature to fight. He will fight today or tomorrow. So might as well fight when Krishna is asking him to fight. Then he will get glory. Krishna has already killed the Kauravas before the battle began. Not physically, but it was going to happen. Because that was Krishna's will. It was Krishna's plan. So the Pandavas were already victorious even before the battle began because this is what Krishna had decided. At the same time, he wanted his dear devotee Arjuna to get the credit for that victory. Nimitta matra bhava savyasachin, just become my empowered instrument, O Savyasachi, and fight for me, and you will not have any sinful reactions. So therefore in this verse, Krishna is contrasting those who act, number one, and number two, act on behalf of Krishna, for Krishna, on one hand, with those who desire to not act, what to speak of not acting for Krishna. They have no conception of working for Krishna and they would rather not work, they would rather go to a life of artificial renunciation. So Krishna says here that that is not possible. Artificially we cannot renounce the world because the world is not ours in any case to renounce. So therefore Krishna says here, karmendriyani sanyamya ya aste manasa smaran. So karma, he is restraining his mind, is restraining his senses, but artificially. But internally, what is happening? Ya aste manasa smaran. Internally, he is thinking of the objects of sense gratification. He is thinking of all sorts of worldly pleasures. So what is the use of that artificial repression? What will repression accomplish, as Krishna says elsewhere? Better than artificially repressing our desires is to develop the higher taste of Krishna consciousness by serving Lord Krishna. When we serve Krishna with love and devotion under the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master coming in the right disciplic succession, then automatically the higher taste comes. Anyone knows what is that verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna speaks of the higher taste? Vishayas. That's right. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinah rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So yes, even as devotees, we also try to restrain the senses. But we are principally doing that by serving Krishna wholeheartedly. We also make external efforts to control the senses. We follow the four regulative principles and so on. But the main method is to serve Krishna. By rendering pure devotional service to Krishna, param drishtva, so we get that higher taste of Krishna consciousness. When that higher taste of Krishna consciousness comes, then the lower tastes of the pleasures of this world will go away automatically. Yadavadhi mama chetah Krishna padarvinde navanavarasadhaman udyate rantumasi, the Yamanucharya says. Ever since my mind has got focused at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, I'm experiencing newer and newer tastes in Krishna consciousness, higher taste, param drishtva. And then the thoughts of sense gratification make me recoil in distaste. So the real solution to our anarthas and bad habits is to wholeheartedly, under proper guidance, serve Krishna. Then, even if we have some weaknesses, even if the material desires linger on, as they will for a substantial period of time, we will be gradually purified. Because we get some higher taste, and we get the mercy of Lord Krishna, and we get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada has given us a complete balanced program of purification and development of higher taste. So if we follow that program, then we can be assured of success in this very difficult battle against our mind and our senses. If we depend on Krishna, like Arjuna did, and fight the battle against our senses and mind, then we will surely emerge victorious by Krishna's grace. However, if we decide to renounce the world and renounce Krishna also, then we will be fighting a lonely battle, and we will be destined to failure, and then we will become mithyacharis, false renunciants. So let us take Krishna's advice and become devotees of Krishna. All of you are already very faithful devotees of Krishna. So all we have to do is to continue day after day, not looking for newer solutions all the time. The solutions are the same. Srila Prabhupada has given us the solutions. Chant Hare Krishna, Japa, Kirtan, read his books regularly, hear the lectures, associate with the devotees, develop friendships with them, serve the deity of the Lord, offer bhoga, offer arati, accept prasadam, celebrate festivals, preach Krishna consciousness everywhere by distributing books, by speaking about Krishna, render varieties of other services to Krishna, and surely that higher taste will come step by step, and we will also emerge victorious on the battlefield of life in this material world. Thank you very much. So sharp 8:30. I've ended. Yes? So you are very, very lucky here to have a nice temple. In fact, now two temples in Mangalore, and under the guidance or under the loving gaze of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, our movement is flourishing in many places, and you have a nice leader here in Namanishtha Prabhu. So please continue to assist him and move ahead in your Krishna consciousness. We have Jagannath temple here also. Now, two nice temples here. We should work together with cooperation and a nice spirit of trust and love. We are all here for serving Srila Prabhupada, for serving Krishna. So we should work in that same spirit. We have much to do. We have to become pure devotees ourselves. And we have to make the whole world around us Krishna conscious. That's a big task, tall order. So we have no time for anything else. So we should develop love and trust amongst each other, work with great cooperation, humility, and with a single-minded purpose. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions? Was there a need for translation for him? Someone can do it. Any questions? Don't be afraid to ask. Yes.
In day-to-day reading, is Gita reading more important or Bhagavad Gita reading?
In day-to-day reading, is Bhagavad Gita reading more important or Bhagavatam more important? First, Bhagavad Gita has to be read regularly. Once we have read Bhagavad Gita, then we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. And once you have finished Srimad Bhagavatam, read Bhagavad Gita again, and then again read Bhagavatam, and go on like this. And there are so many other books that Prabhupada has given. We can read them as well. Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many books. Okay? Any other question? Okay. So my best wishes to all of you for your Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Govinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. See the benefits of coming to Krishna consciousness. Nice. Yeah?